Follow the law of love, you find yourself saying, oh, wretched man that I am. You discover somehow that the more you try, the more you discover that you can't do it alone. And oh, you end up in despair. You end up in a tragic state. You feel that you have lost out. Yes, I have been like that. But when I came to that point, when I came to the point of feeling that I couldn't make it alone, when I came to the point of realizing that I was too weak to make it, I discovered something else. I reached out and saw breaking out of eternity into time the powerful dimensions of God's grace. And where sin abounded, grace abounded even more exceedingly. And so I want to say to you, America, reach out. And if you reach far enough, you will discover God's grace. And it is that grace that can lift you from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. It is that grace that can lift you from the midnight of sorrow to the daybreak of joy. It is that grace that helps you to see that by the grace of the Almighty God, you can live in this world and you can live this life. And you can see the face of the Almighty God with all of his eternal principles. In the midst of man's tragic sin stands God's amazing grace. I must say goodbye to you now. Maybe I will not see you, but I will meet you in God's eternity. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with you today, tomorrow, and even forever. This is the letter, and now comes the living of it. Let us pray. Oh God, our gracious Heavenly Father, help us to reach out in our lives and see the great principles of life. Help us to see the work and worth of the Apostle Paul, who stands at the center of our faith as one of the most noble Christians, and who stands as a challenge to us in all ages and in all generations. Help us to realize at all times the relevance of the gospel in every nation and in every community. In the name and spirit of Jesus we pray. Amen.
You have just listened to the broadcast of the Mount Tryon Baptist Church, located at 720 Millrace Road, Reverend Joseph Franklin is the pastor. If you would like to correspond with our ministry, our number is area code 318-487-8394, area code 318-793-9700. Our address again is 720 Millrace Road, Forest, Louisiana, 71409. Tune in again next Saturday morning for our broadcast at 8 a.m. God bless you.
Are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
That you are great and greatly to be praised. We thank you now, God, for this preaching privilege. We pray, Lord, that you would speak a word into our hearts. A word, God, that will move us from where we are to where you want us to be. We thank you now for the precious anointing of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence in this place. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise in this place. Amen, amen, amen. Again, to our visitors and to those who share with us by way of the internet all across this nation and land, even as far away as Afghanistan. Amen. We are so happy that you are tuning in with us here at Pleasant Hill. Those who listen to us by way of radio, we pray, amen, that this ministry is a blessing to you as we submit ourselves to the will, to the way of God. Amen. Come on, let's thank our youth choir. Amen. Thank you, Sister Dowdy. And let's thank our chair choir, Sister Kizzy. Amen. Is sitting in today with them. We thank God for our young people. And we believe that we ought to promote them and encourage them. Amen. Somebody said they're the church of tomorrow, but I want them to know that they are the church of today. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. In the book of First Chronicles, and we're going to go to school this morning, so get your pen, your paper, notebook if you have it, amen, and turn with us to the book of First Chronicles, chapter 21, amen. First Chronicles, chapter 21. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. If you found it, say amen. If you haven't found it, look at the screen. Amen. There you will find these words. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan. And bring the number of them to me, that I may know it. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah was 403 and 10,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he smote Israel. Verse 8, and David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence, in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And then verse 13, and David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. for just a few moments this morning, and keep your Bibles open, but I want to speak to you this morning from the subject, Let Me Fall Into the Hands of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, before we move on, I need you to know that there is a parallel reference to this text before us, and I want you to turn there. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24, and I want to look at just one verse, and I want you to notice the difference, amen, between these two passages in Chronicles and in Samuel, amen. 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 1. Second Samuel chapter 24 and verse 1. Keep your finger in First Chronicles because I want you to look back and forth just for a moment. You found it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Second Samuel 24 and 1, it says, And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, Go number Israel and Judah. Let me read it again. Look at it. Look at it closely. Verse 1, it says, And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he, talking about God, moved David against them to say, Go number Israel and Judah. I want you to see God's hand there. Amen. Now go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And verse 1. See, I didn't do what I told y'all to do. Keep it. Amen. All right. It says, And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. All right. Now, what I want you to see this morning, because if you read these two passages in their entirety, you will notice that there are some discrepancies in the numbers. There are some differences here in this particular passage. It says Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David, whereas in 2 Samuel, amen, it says that God is at work, all right? Now, what I want you to do is if you put them together, it'll look something like this. Because again, in 1 Chronicles 21 and 1, you see Satan tempting David and causing God's wrath to fall upon Israel. But in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 1, you see that because God is angry with Israel, he moves David to do this thing, amen, and it comes back around to Israel getting the punishment for what David did. All right, all right. Where are you going, Pastor? I said in Bible study, and I've been saying it as we've gone through the book of Romans, that when God wants to get you, he doesn't have to use anybody else. When you get on God's last nerve, good enough. When you get outside of his will, amen, enough, and when you disappoint him enough, God does not have to raise up enemies out there to put you in check. As a matter of fact, I believe I got some witnesses in the room, because what God will do many times is cause you to become your own worst enemy. Now, this text is interesting. It's very interesting because we find here that in some way God is leading David to do something that God doesn't like, causing his iniquity to fall upon Israel. Ultimately, he punishes David. He says, David, I'm going to give you three choices. Amen. You can get this whipping in one of three ways. I remember when I was growing up, and whenever we'd do something, my mama normally would say, go get a switch. Amen. She would make us go and get the instrument for our own discipline. And sometimes, amen, because I was real smart, I'd go get a tiny little switch, you know. I'd find the smallest thing, and then she would say, all right, let me go get one. And you know how that ended up, amen? But I want us to see this morning
how God is at work in our lives. And the first thing you need to see, and the reason that God is doing this in this text, is because for three reasons I want you to see. And I got to give it to you like this, because theologians really are at a loss as to why this plays out the way it does. You can check all the commentaries, you can check all of the theological references, and you'll find one saying it's for this reason, one saying it for that reason. I can only give you the reason as God has given it to me. Amen. Why does God cause David to do something that God is angered by, and then therefore, amen, God punishes Israel because of what David did? One of three reasons. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God punishes with purpose. See, our penal system, the prisons in this nation, you know, they ought to be set up to rehabilitate folk. The original intent and purpose of prisons was not just punishment, but it used to be that they would send folk to prison to try to rehabilitate. They would let them take some classes and get some skills, but now they've cut the money and the funding so much, amen, that now prison really all it is now is just punishment. But when God punishes us, he has a greater purpose in mind. God punishes with purpose. Now, why does God cause this to happen? Number one, the text says God is angry. Why is God angry? God is angry potentially, not that they did anything, but sometimes God gets angry with us because of something he sees in us that is displeasing to him. God gets angry with us sometimes because he sees something in us that must come out of us. What are you talking about? I'm talking, number one, about pride. And my brothers and sisters, we've got to be very careful about having ungodly pride. What is ungodly pride? Ungodly pride is when you think you did it. Ungodly pride is when you think, you know, you're the cutest and you're the finest and you're the smartest and you sing the best and you do this the best and can't nobody outshine you, amen. You are all that in a bag of chips. That kind of pride, amen, leaves God out of the picture. But I've come by this morning to tell us that whatever God allows us to do in this life, in every moment, in every instance, amen, we need to give him the glory for whatever he allows us to accomplish in this life. Because when you look at this, and really to understand the full magnitude of this text, you got to go back to chapter 20. In chapter 20, we discover that David is old. David is really almost at the end of his life, but in a real sense, David has it going on. When you read chapter 20, you'll find that there's battle after battle after battle, amen, fight after fight after fight, and in every one of those instances, in every one of those situations, David wins. And it's a dangerous thing when you win all the time. It's a dangerous thing, amen, when you become like, well, King Midas, amen, everything you touch turns to gold. Why is it dangerous, Pastor? It's dangerous because you start believing your own portfolio. You start, amen, believing your own resume and thinking that it's because you were so smart, because you were so good, because you had the right connections. But is there anybody in this house this morning who knows and understands that if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you would not accomplish anything? I have studied this Bible backwards and forwards, and I have come to find that the one thing God hates more than anything else is pride. Pride. And so God gets angry because sometimes he sees something in us that he says, that's got to come out of you. If you're going to be what I want you to be, if you're going to do the things I want you to do, amen, I got to get this thing out of you. Pride, sometimes it's envy. And you've heard me say before that envy is really worse than jealousy. Because when you're jealous of somebody, you're just mad at what they got. Some of y'all been there. Some of y'all right there right now. Amen. Jealousy says, I hate the fact that he has this. So I hate the fact that he has. Anybody in here ever had to deal with what I call haters, folk who are jealous of you? Amen. But envy is worse than jealousy, because envy says, not only am I mad that you have it, but I want it, and not one like it. I want the one you have. I want what you've got. Amen. And so sometimes God will cause things to happen in our lives because he sees pride in our hearts. He sees envy in our hearts, or he sometimes sees hatred in our hearts. I don't understand. Well, I do understand. It's because of the flesh. Amen. How with the same mouth that we praise God, we can run our brothers and sisters' names through the street. With the same mouth, amen, that we come in here and we sing, amen, how great is our God, amen, we have the nerve to sit back and condemn one another and talk about one another and mistreat one another. Sometimes God sees hatred in us, and God says, I got to get that out of you. But God is angry that David numbers the people. Now, when you understand the Old Testament, you know that there have been times in the record where God has told Israel to be numbered. As a matter of fact, the book of Numbers is a record of God telling them to number the people. But in this particular instance, God is angry with David for numbering the people, and the only reason I can think of is because David wants to number the people so he'll know how strong he is. The reason David wants the number, amen, is because he wants to know how mighty his forces are, how strong, amen, his army is. And my brothers and sisters, I don't care how many friends you have. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much education you have. If you don't have God leading you, if you don't have God undergirding you, if you don't have God beside you, if you don't have God in you, I'm here to tell you, you're going to fall. Come on, anybody a witness to that in here today? But the question still comes to mind, God, how are you going to get angry with this man for something you send the devil to tempt him to do? Now, when you study this, amen, in the Hebrew, you notice that Satan, the word Satan, normally the word Satan in the Hebrew is preceded by an article. In other words, because Satan literally means accuser or tempter. And normally when you see it in the Hebrew, it is the accuser or the tempter or the adversary. But in 2 Samuel, Satan is used more as a proper name. All right? And what that tells me is that sometimes our relationship with the devil gets so close that we know him by his proper name. Oh my, oh my, oh my. See, some of us know him as an adversary, amen? Some of us know him as an accuser and a tempter. As a matter of fact, Job, when God got ready, amen, to test Job, you remember God asked the devil, where you been? He said, I've been up and down in the earth, going to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. God set Job up. God said, have you considered my servant Job?
Yes.
Now the reason this is important is because whenever you are tested or tempted or tried, I want you to see the difference between the way God works it out and the way the devil works it out. Tell your neighbor, God tries us. The devil tempts us. What's the difference? Well, it's almost as if God would put $1 million on this table and leave you in here by yourself with it. Now, God is trying you. God is trying to see how honest you are. But the devil, he's not trying you. He's going to be sitting there, what, telling you, oh, they ain't going to miss $100,000 out of there. They're not going to miss a little bit out of there. See, God tries us, but the devil tempts us. He's a tempter. He's an accuser. Amen. And so God allows this to happen in the life of David and the life of Israel, and he allows things like this to happen to us because sometimes he's trying to get out of us something that ought not be in us. But then the second reason is that sometimes he's angry with us because something is not in us that needs to be in us. God will allow us to experience some things because he's trying to build up our character. You see, God is not interested in our convenience. He's interested in developing our character. And sometimes God puts us in these situations because he wants to teach us humility. He wants to teach us responsibility. He wants to teach us accountability. Amen. And so God will sometimes put us in situations where when we come out of that situation, we'll be more humble, we'll be more responsible, and we'll realize that we're accountable to him. Now let me back up to the first point. Turn to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 8. The first point, sometimes God wants to take out of us something that's in us. Let me show you in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 8, and Jesus is speaking. Jesus says, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter heaven crippled than to be in hell with both of your hands and feet." Verse 9 says, "And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. Better to enter heaven with one eye to be in hell running around talking about, I got two." And so God says that if you're going to get to heaven and live eternally with him, some stuff in our lives has got to go. Amen. So when we look at this in the larger picture, we see that even though God is angry and even though God brings judgment upon David and upon Israel, his ultimate goal, amen, is to take something out of David and out of Israel that could potentially keep them separated from him. Yes. Tell your neighbor, I want to be with him. I want to be with him. And because of this thing that David does, because he numbers the people, he's lifted in pride, he wants to show how strong he is, God is mad. God sees this seer, a prophet, Gad, to tell him that you got three choices and you get to pick, amen, which choice you're gonna take. God tells him, you've got three choices. You can either, number one, have 3 years of famine. Number two, 3 months destroyed before foes. Y'all know what a foe is, don't you? See, an enemy is one thing. But a foe, amen, amen, you don't know exactly what they are. Sometimes foes are smiling in your face. Sometimes foes are riding along with you in your vehicle. Sometimes foes are on the phone with you late at night, amen, getting all your business and telling your business to somebody else. He says, number three, you can have 3 days of pestilence. Now, in my natural mind, it just seems that 3 days is where I would end, you know, 3 years, 3 months, or 3 days. But you need to understand, amen, that 3 days under the wrath of God is an awful thing. Can I get a witness here today? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so God gives David three choices. But look at King David. He's humbled by what has happened. He recognizes his sin. He recognizes how much he's displeased God. And the Bible says that David makes a choice. And one thing I love about David is that when David would mess up, David had enough sense to go to God and say, God, I messed up. I did it. I'm sorry. And is there anybody here today who knows that if you go to God and if you go to him in the right way, he will forgive you? The Bible tells us that ultimately David's sin leads him to repent at Ornan's threshing floor. Now watch this, watch this. The threshing floor is a special place. One of the major crops that they had was wheat. And wheat, amen, the wheat kernels were wrapped in what you might call a husk. And the way they would separate the husk from the wheat, they would put it on these almost like a sheet. And there would be two people on one end and two people on the other. and they would lift that sheet up and cause that wheat to go in the air, and as it bounced on that sheet, the little kernels would come loose and the wind would blow what was called the